Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion sur Radio Créon du colloque sur le rapport Taylor-Bouchard qui s'est tenu à Montréal en mai 2009. Welcome to the audio podcast on Radio Créon of the conference on the Bouchard-Taylor report that took place in Montreal in May 2009.
Dans la relève, Jean-Claude Tremblay approuve Richard qui cherche mot de l'œil. La passe est ici, il est seul. Il lance.
Vous allez voir ça, vous allez nous aimer.
First thing, since, like everyone else's, my comments are on the fly, when you're doing something on the fly, you reach for equipment that is already on your shelves, and I apologize to those of you who've read my blogging about the whole Taylor Bouchard Commission process. There will inevitably be some duplication of language and ideas from what you've seen there over the last couple of years. But with Monique's paper in particular, I think that I can get some actual engagement and friction out of it. Second, unlike our two presenters of an American perspective, I am not ancestrally half Canadian, but I am an American who's been sitting here watching the process and been fascinated by it and learned a great deal from it. My basic take is that the report is an astonishingly good document considering the astonishingly bad politics that generated it. And this, in a roundabout way, is going to get me back to talking about Monique. A short and very cynical history. There was a moral panic about Muslim and Jewish religious practices being incompatible with Quebecois identity, fanned as moral panics are, though not generated, as I think moral panics generally are not. Fanned but not generated by a media interested in selling newspapers, but responding to genuine social anxieties on the ground among a real proportion, not a large proportion, not a huge, but a real proportion of Francophone Quebecois. That moral panic crystallized in the astonishing document that was the Héroville Norms, and I'm going to keep encouraging my non-Canadian multiculturalist friends to read the Héroville Norms sometime as a sign for what it is that can happen and how people who aren't the people who sit in this room think about things and the kinds of issues that can get confused. And interestingly, what happens when people try to think in a serious, principled way? I mean, the Héroville Norms are not a response to anything that had happened in Héroville. They're not a response, large parts of them aren't a response to anything that had ever happened in Quebec. They are an attempt to think at a generalized, abstracted level. They're an attempt to think about lots of things that lots of my friends in political theory, though not me, think are good, salutary things about democratic citizens coming together and thinking about what their identity consists of. By the time the Héroville Norms came out, and the moral panic in the newspapers continued, a different kind of moral panic ensues on the part of urban elites. That is to say, urban elites who are both Federalist and Sovereigntist, something that united the Liberals and the PQ, something that united Montreal and Quebec City. This is a familiar enough political phenomenon. To two elite parties that are unresponsive to anti-immigrant, anti-cosmopolitan, anti-city anxiety on the part of a populist, rural, or working-class hinterland. They will build a two-party consensus on trade, they'll build a two-party consensus on immigration, they'll build a two-party consensus on multiculturalism, or they will simply build a two-party consensus on liberalizing moral and cultural life. And then they are gobsmacked when it turns out that there's some large portion of the population that doesn't want to go along for this particular ride. Now, I say this as a happily paid-up member of that urban elite consensus, But I'm always amazed at how amazed people are that those kinds of two-party consensuses then generate backlashes. So there's a backlash, and there's this deep panic on the part of the urban elites. What the hell is happening out there? And then the what the hell is happening out there looks as if it's going to lead to an ADQ victory in the election. Now we've really got to do something. What do we do? Well, we like philosopher kings. Let's appoint some. So in lieu of making any hard policy decisions on the fly in the middle of the campaign, which is probably good because the decisions probably would have been bad ones, Charré appoints a blue ribbon commission that will do its work after the election's over and chooses good, well-respected commissioners who cross the aisle in terms of the urban elite, that is, it's got both sides of the urban consensus, and gives the commission an impossible task. Simultaneously, tacitly, won't you go out and tell those heathens that everything's okay? And won't you come back and translate for us what the hell is going on out there so that we won't be surprised again in the future? The second of those requires, as it were, a listening tour. The first of them requires a report that will reassure that everything's okay. The listening tour and the report that everything's okay turn out to be in a deep kind of tension. But I get ahead of myself for a moment. The liberals win the election. The urban elite would then be just as happy to forget that the commission had been appointed, but of course it was in the newspapers and all, and one can't just do that. And they appointed serious people of integrity who are going to take their mission very, very earnestly, seriously, and go out on their listening tour. Now, so far, I've already suggested that there's a moral panic, which is a familiar phenomenon. There's the urban-rural elite-populist divide, which is a familiar phenomenon. There's one phenomenon that was not so familiar to me as an American coming into this context, having learned my ethnic and cultural politics of Quebec from people like Will Kimlicka and Charles Taylor. And that was the realization the Quiet Revolution had not been won so decisively as my Montreal friends like to think, and that there were still genuine divides. This is something that I think ties Quebec to France. It ties them both in a way to post-Francoist Spain, and it makes all of them look kind of alien to Anglo-Americans. What do I mean? Well, I mean that when something comes up about Muslim or Jewish religious practices, you get simultaneously a reaction against the minority practice from the populist Catholic Christian group that sees an attack on Christianity, and you get a really sharp reaction from a portion of the secular group who looks at a headscarf and sees a nun's habit and says, "We just got rid of them." Who looks at a yarmulke and sees a priest's collar and says, "They were tyrannizing over us not very long ago, and so we have to protect ourselves against them." And to a certain degree, Muslims and Jews got caught between the hammer and anvil of quiet revolutionaries who think, well, we've just secured this fragile victory and we've got to protect it, and the defeated side in the quiet revolution that has seen so much slip away and doesn't want to see any more slip away, each of them seeing the Muslims and Jews as natural allies of the other side. And so there's a reaction that we Anglo-Americans routinely call Jacobin among the secularists, that is anti-minority religion, that is common to Quebec and France, and I think is conceivable in Spain, and is strikes us as strange. And I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't realize how strong the unresolved Quiet Revolution issues were. In that whole story, with two familiar things and one unfamiliar thing, I've only been talking about religion and culture. The report only talks about religion and culture overwhelmingly, as Monique points out. But the report and the commission were a response to political phenomena and multiple perceptions of a crisis in the province at the time. And those were religion and culture crises and stories. It would have been, I think, very easy for the commission to... I'm going to skip over how awful the hearings were. It would have been very easy for the commission to follow up with a report that I think took attack more like what Monique is calling for. It is to the commissioner's credit that they didn't. Why? Well, remember that once the election's over, no one except the commissioners actually wants to see this thing happen. And what, by a year later, when the hearings have gone and made things along certain kinds of dimensions much worse, really the Liberal government has no interest in hearing that there's a report coming out. I said this was going to be a very cynical story. What they want to do, if they have to do anything, if they have to receive the report, which again they have to do, it's been on the newspapers, it's been on TV every night all fall, what would they like? Well, they'd like some recommendations that they can bureaucratize without doing anything that will be taken as a challenge to the underlying culturally sensitive politics in Quebec. That is to say, they don't want to rip the wound open again. They don't want to stir things up again. They want things to go away. The report does include some recommendations about parallel accreditation, recognizing the intellectual credentials, about better integration and better job opportunities for immigrants, and so on. Mostly to its credit, the report does a good job of distinguishing religion from immigration in a way the popular discourse hadn't quite always. But after all, one of the key groups at stake were Orthodox Jews who are not recent immigrants to Quebec, and a very large share of immigrants to Quebec from regions that we think of as Muslim regions are not practicing Muslims in ways that have generated the conflict. But the conflicts were around religious practices. The report mostly emphasizes they're about religious practices, but it throws in this stuff that says, well, we ought to do a better job about immigrant integration. If you're a Liberal government looking to sweep under the carpet all of the controversial stuff about religion, what do? Well, you seize on everything about let's throw a little bit more money into French language education for immigrants and let's do a little bit better job at accrediting, at recognizing the credentials of immigrants, so that you can say, well, we carefully, judiciously picked and chose among the various recommendations, and we're going to do this stuff. And by do this stuff, of course they don't mean we will fix race relations in Quebec, but they will mean we appointed a new undersecretary of something and we threw some more money at something and we passed a new law. Whereas on the hard identity questions, what are you going to do? You're going to rush into the National Assembly on the afternoon that the report is issued and get a unanimous resolution that says, of course we will not take this Francoist crucifix down off the National Assembly walls. The more rope the commissioners gave the Liberal government with which to treat this as a resource-based, race-based, bureaucratizable problem, the greater the propensity would have been to, on the government's part, to ignore the stuff that had generated the panics in the first place. And I think that would have been a mistake. And I think that that would have made the document a lesser document than it is. Now, it would have meant that a higher share of the recommendations would have gotten adopted if they had recommended more things that are easily bureaucratizable and easily resourceizable. But I take it the goal of the commissioners wasn't just to generate a list of things that would be easy to do, but to say something meaningful about the events of the previous 2 years. And I think, to their credit, they did a great deal of that. Again, I recognize that Monique's actual substantive concerns about intersectionality of disadvantage and racialization of disadvantage and racialization of populations against their will, that's not the stuff that is actually met by little bureaucratic resource initiatives. But it's the stuff of which a show can be made. Whereas by mostly keeping the government's feet to the fire or mostly emphasizing the identity concerns that had driven the moral panic the first time around, the commission left less wiggle room. It left the government having to mostly ignore the report rather than able to pretend that it had accepted the report and to pretend that it had solved a lot of underlying problems. Now, it also happens that I think that religion and cultural disputes are real disputes. They're real disputes on both sides. There are real raw religious sensibilities in Quebec, and there are real religious practitioners among Orthodox Jews and Muslims in Quebec. That does not say they are the only minorities. That does not say they are only disadvantaged minorities. Nor, of course, does it say that religious practice anxieties are the only identity anxieties among Francophone Quebecois. Indeed, the really, really important ones are the ones that the commission did an excellent job at the beginning distinguishing away, most centrally language. And again, it was a key move in the public status of the document to try to persuade Francophone Québécois of both elite and populist levels that minority religious practices were not stalking horses for Anglophone Canada or Anglophone Québécois, and that it was, as it were, safe for Quebec to accommodate religious practices while still recognizing that there would be the ongoing disagreements that there have always been about language politics, about sovereignty, that, as it were, Federalist and Nationalist alike, sympathetic to Anglophone minority rights and unsympathetic to Anglophone minority rights alike, Quebecois could safely reach accommodations with religious practices. Sometimes treating one issue at a time is the right way to proceed.